welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, I want to get quickly into the Word because we're running out of time this week and we're still trying to get through Luke 5, if you remember. I think it very much feeds into everything that God is doing with us because it's all about daring to dream. It's all about going deeper.
Hallelujah.
I can't go through everything we've been through the previous 2 weeks because I might not get through it. So if you haven't read the first bit of Luke 5 recently, go back and have a read. But bear in mind, the key things we've been talking about were when Jesus is with his disciples, or they're not yet his disciples, in fact, and they've been busy all night and not seen anything. And Jesus says to them, if you row out deeper and put your nets out again, you will catch an enormous... Well, actually, he doesn't even tell them that. He just says, row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch. And Peter kind of says, well, because you've said so, we'll do it. Well, I tell you, Jesus is saying so right now.
Whoa.
Come on, let's go deeper. Amen? And Luke 5 moves on, and we're not going to go, as I say, all the way back through it. One of the key things that we linked it in with was that passage from Job. This is such a key scripture for us as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and the church in these days. You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. Why do I stand up here and tell you the summit vision, or what are we doing as we're looking forward? Because we shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you.
Amen.
Now, a lot of the leadership, we've just come back from, and some others of us, we just got back from being in Harrogate. We were over there with some of the leaders from Bethel Church in California, Bill Johnson's church. The main speakers were Chris Vallotton, Danny Silk, and his wife, Sherry Silk. And we were impacted by that. It was quite funny. One night, Danny got up to speak, and he put up the title of his slate, and it said, Dare to Dream. And all the guys that were there from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire all just burst out laughing because God had been speaking to us so much. It was like, it was so relevant, so into our situation, so like what we're doing, that suddenly to see Dare to Dream up on the screen. And poor old Danny just sort of looked at the screen and looked back out at the congregation and said, well, what was funny about that? So we told him later. Hallelujah. But it was really good. But one of the things that impacted me, and you might think doesn't sound like much, and probably you're only going to get a little grasp of it because it was something that Chris was speaking about again and again and again. And that was that the church has got to learn to think. We're very good at teaching what to think, but we're not so good at enabling people how to think. Yeah? And we need to learn to think about what God is saying to us, about what we believe, and to reinterpret it, rather than we hit some sort of crisis or something happens in our lives, and we've got to go and find the rule that we've been taught about that situation. We can think, well, what do I know, and how does that apply? But it's dangerous thinking. Because when people start to think, they start to have opinions. And when people have opinions, they can disagree with you. And when people disagree, traditionally in the Protestant church, you form three churches. Yeah. Even if there was only two opinions. And then one of those splits because they don't have decaf coffee. The Protestant church is littered with church splits. And often the split occurs over disagreement. And I think what God is doing in this time is turning the church around and saying, you know, you're always going to disagree on some issues, some minor, some major. But it's about time you realized you're all my family.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's good. Who are we to look at one particular group of people and say, well, I don't agree with their doctrine on baptism, so I'm not having anything to do with them. And yet we can see God working in that church.
Come on. Amen.
God's there, so who are we to say, well, I don't want to do that. Yeah? God is raising up his church, and we need to learn to value one another rather than just our own opinion. We need to learn that sometimes we're wrong. Not me, of course. Just you. But... Oh dear, I hope if you're here you understand my sense of humor. No, anyway. So we've got to learn to think. But traditionally, the Protestant church has stopped people thinking because thinking is so dangerous because someone sitting out there, from the church leader point of view, might disagree with you. Good. Disagree with me if you like. I don't mind. You sort it out with God. I'm telling you what I believe God has said to me. And sometimes I might even be wrong. You've got to test it according to Scripture. Submission doesn't mean a blind obedience, not caring what's going on. That kind of blind obedience and submission to leadership has been taught of marriage. Husbands love your wives, and wives submit to your husbands. It doesn't say nothing, wives submit to your husbands. How can a wife fully submit to an abusive husband? They can't. That's a perversion of the truth. And sometimes the truth gets perverted in the name of good theology, saying, well, you've got to believe exactly what I'm saying or you can't be part of this church. What rubbish. What rubbish. I don't like football very much. Some of you will disagree with that. Wrong violently. But by the grace of God, we've become good friends.
Yeah.
Even though we disagree.
Yeah.
One of my good friends in the town that we stand together on a lot of things is the vicar of St. Mary's Church, Martin Dunning.
Yeah.
Our theology isn't identical, but we both know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stand with him.
Amen.
And if I hear gossip about him, I'll back him up.
That's right.
And if he wants to baptise infants, that's his business.
That's right.
I'll celebrate maybe the fact that at least it brings some people in interested about it, that they get a chance to talk to about
that's
Jesus
right.
that we often don't.
That's right.
Hallelujah. In any case, we dedicate infants. The only difference is we don't sprinkle water on them.
Right.
People have got so hot under the collar on theology, and I'm not saying it's not important. Of course it's important. But so is relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
So is thinking about what we're saying and what we're doing.
Yeah.
Every time I'm preaching here every Sunday, you shouldn't be just saying, oh, that's it then. You should be going away and investigating it, testing it according to Scripture. Not because you immediately doubt what I'm said, but because you're conscientious on what God is saying to you.
Yeah.
We've got to think.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That was a bit about what was said anyway. Which is getting me away from what I was going to say. So we're jumping through Luke 5. And I want you to think about what's being said. Hallelujah. We won't have a show of hands for all those who disagree with me. Maybe you disagree with me that you should be able to disagree with me. We've done up to verse 17. We skipped to Naomi's party, but we're going back now to Luke 5, verse 17. I think I'll just read this to you, and then we'll go through it. Are you sitting comfortably? One day, while Jesus... Yes, it did sound a bit like that. Once upon a time... One day, while Jesus was teaching, a number of Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were present. They'd come from all over Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. The anointing of God's power was obviously present for Jesus to heal the sick. Some men arrived carrying a paralytic on a stretcher. They wanted to bring him into the house where Jesus was speaking to lay the man before him, but there was no way through the throng of people. So they carried him onto the roof, removed some tiles, and lowered him among the crowd directly in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were thinking to themselves, "Who does this man think he is? He speaks blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so asked them, "Why do you have such attitudes in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive those who sin," he said to the paralyzed man, "I command you to stand up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." Immediately the man stood up in front of everyone, took his stretcher, and went out praising God. Everyone present was amazed and astonished. And they joined in the praise. They were awestruck and said, "We have seen astonishing things today." Amen.
Amen.
I want people to be saying that in Scarborough. I want people to be saying that in Filey, in Whitby, in Leeds, in York, and all in this region, in the villages, in Langtoft, in Foxholes, in Killam. Hallelujah. Down at Staxton. People saying, we have seen astonishing things today.
Amen.
Why don't we see astonishing things? Because we're not thinking about what God has actually said about us. We are incredibly awesome. We talked some time ago out of the Psalms where God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. And we sort of, that's true. No. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, that's a very good scripture, that, actually. Yeah. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
And see, you don't believe it. You're having a little intellectual. No, you don't. Because if we really, I don't think I do. Because if we suddenly got it, we'd be sort of jumping around the room. You know? How many people have heard of John the Baptist? I'm good. You're thinking. You're answering questions. Fairly easy one for beginners. Okay. Who knows what Jesus said of John the Baptist in terms of him being one of the prophets of the Old Covenant? Chris, go for it. Yes, that's right. You're on the right lines.
Yeah, he's the greatest of all the prophets.
That's it. Yes, that's the whole expression. He said of John the Baptist, he is greater than all the prophets that have come before him. Greater than Abraham.
Wow.
Now we think of Abraham as pretty heroic, don't we? And standing around getting, well, I don't suppose he was just standing there waiting, but he was getting on with life for 25 years waiting for the fulfillment of the promise.
Right.
What about Daniel? Someone that would go to such, someone that would stand in the middle of the most evil empire on the planet and still remain faithful to God, even though he was sent there as a boy. Someone who was said to be 10 times wiser, 10 times more intelligent than all the extremely well-educated Babylonian advisors. But John the Baptist was greater. But Chris preempted a little bit there. Because Jesus added, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he is.
Yeah.
All right, now come on, I know that we think about this. That means your intellectual capability is 10 times greater than the most educated nation that there was in the time of Daniel. And people haven't got that much thicker or that much more intelligent. We're just the same. You are one clever dude. But you've been taught not to think, because if you started to think, you might have a different opinion. Well, we're releasing thinking again. We're releasing the ability of people to process stuff. I pray that this is a culture where you can have a go. And if you mess up, it doesn't matter. All right, I'd rather have 10 people have a go than nobody does anything, but everything stays nice and pretty. Because if 10 people have a go, I bet you 10 people are going to succeed anyway. And even if only one doesn't succeed, we'll all learn from what they've done, and it will lead to a greater success.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen? You are 10 times more intelligent than the wise men of Babylon. You have a greater faith than the faith of Abraham, because Jesus said so.
Right.
We are, you know, if we really are like that, it only takes 2 or 3 to change the world.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You are more capable than President Obama. You have greater wisdom to run a nation than David Cameron. Some of you have been in trouble believing that. Some of you are even better than Nick Clegg. Or Ed Miliband. Hallelujah. But you are. I mean, those are bright guys. I know we mock them because maybe we disagree with them and we have trouble respecting people we disagree with. That's a worldly culture. Oh, hallelujah. Just drop that one in there. What's all this got to do with the leper? You shall see, I hope. One day, to go back to the beginning. So Jesus is with a number of Pharisees. The anointing of God is present for him to heal. And there's a bunch of guys who've got a friend who's on a stretcher who they think, right, that Jesus can deal with this. You know, so they bundle him on a stretcher and they march down to where Jesus is. When they get there, they find that the place is absolutely packed. Sounds quite a nice house because it talks about tiles on the roof. Did you notice that? It says tiles. Because a lot of people seem to think it's one of those flat roof mud places. No, it said it was tiled. This was a nice house and it's packed full of people and you're there with your friend. What do they do next? Get all English and polite. Oh, well, we'll wait outside and maybe there'll be a spot of time at the end. Because there's so much not happening in our lives because of a forced kind of humility or fear that comes upon us that says, no, I won't grab that just now. And then the opportunity has passed. I don't know if there were any other people that turned up with their friends on stretchers that day that were too polite. I mean, we're talking rather bold people. I mean, it's quite a picture, isn't it? I don't know how they got up on the roof. If the house was that crowded, usually the stairs were on the inside of the house, not necessarily on the outside. So you get this picture of the guys, I'll strap him in the stretcher. Okay, push him up. Have you got the top? And he's sort of lying there going, are you sure this is a good plan? And then they're sort of bundling him up. Have you got him? No. Well, reach a bit lower. Okay, we'll throw him. Are you ready? One, two. And the guy in the stretcher's going, he said, I'm already paralyzed. It can't get any worse. We got him, I think. Yes, we got him. And then drag him up onto the roof across the tiles. Anybody done that to your house recently? Would you be pleased? Yeah. They're on a mission to see their friend healed, and they know they've got to get to Jesus, and they're not going to let fear grab hold of them. We turn back so many times for what we think is wisdom, and it's actually fear. It was not wise. You could say, well, the wise thing is not to go up on the roof. It's dangerous. Yeah, it sure was. But it was the only way they were going to get to Jesus. It's the only way they were going to get to Jesus. We've got to be risky. It's dangerous out there. Jesus' first major miracle, turning water into wine when the people were already drinking. It's an adult world out there. We try to make it sort of politically correct and cuddly like we do for children. Come on, we've got to get out amongst the lions and the wolves. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus was about to be arrested, he told them to take swords with them. This is not a namby-pamby tiddly gospel. This is not Jesus in a long white dress tiptoeing through the tulips. Hey, I'm Jesus, I love you. But that's the picture that the world's got of a sort of ballet dancing Jesus with a big smile on his face, talking about sheep and lost children. Cuddly, fluffy Jesus. But actually, he was a man of wine and swords and crucifixion. Amen? He was a man that got bloody to get done what needed to be done. And that kind of passion has got to be in us. That kind of passion that says, if I do this, I could get in trouble. Or even, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble. But I've got the gospel in me. I've got the power of God in me for the salvation of those who don't yet believe. I'm going to get it out there. You say, well, I can't say anything at work. I might lose my job. You might. You thought I was going to say, well, you need to believe. No, you might. You need to be wise. You need to think about how you could do such a thing. But we don't just shut up through fear. The church has been shut up for centuries through fear. Let's think about what we're doing. Let's get a bit of boldness on us. Hallelujah. I'm not a very bold person. You think I am because I'm standing here. But you don't know what goes on in here, you see. For example, to go and talk to a speaker at a conference, to me, is terrifying. You think, well, that's a bit stupid of you. Yeah, it is. It is. You're absolutely right. It is. So, with a view to having meetings at the spa, I wanted to go up to Chris Vullerton and say to him, do you want to come? That to me is like death on two legs. That's like, no way! And I kept trying to get Tim, who I do know, Tim Eldridge, that came and did us, to get me to introduce, and he kept forgetting. So God stitched me up. Hallelujah. I'm not saying he's coming, by the way, although he is praying and thinking about it. But he stitched me up because I went to the loo. Sorry to be a bit basic here. But I was in the toilet, and when I came out to wash my hands, he was waiting in the queue. Bless him. He's speaking and he's waiting in the queue. You think somebody would have let him go in front? I suppose while he's behind you, you can't be late for the meeting. And so he said hello to me. So I chatted to him and said, oh, I need to talk to you about coming to Scarborough. And we did. We talked later on. But even then, walking up to him, it's like, oh. Later on, I did chicken out and sent Dan. But I did go. We've got to be bold, even in the simple things. Why did we keep thinking, I can't? Where do you get that in the Word of God? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a child of the King. I'm kind of important. Do you know me? I'm kind of important. People know me.
That's right.
Some of you know where I'm getting that from. But these guys want to get their friend in the house. So they're dragging him across the tiled roof. They don't just dig some hole through some mud. They're removing tiles. And presumably if you're removing tiles, you've got to get through the supports that the tiles are on. They're causing damage to somebody's property because their friend needs healing. How many of you are prepared to damage property? Yeah. Damage property to do what you know has got to be done. I'm not preaching a message of civil disobedience. I'm preaching a message of let's overcome fear. So eventually, anyway, they've got a hole big enough. And now if you're letting a stretcher through a roof, it's a fairly big hole. I don't know whether they got much of an inkling. It says they let the stretcher down at the feet of Jesus. And, you know, I imagine Jesus sort of probably sitting there because he would normally have sat to talk. And he's sitting there and there's just bits of plaster that he's plucking out of his hair every now and again because something's doing something upstairs. Yeah. Is everybody not listening to Jesus but looking at the roof wondering, wow, got trouble with birds in his loft. Yeah? But eventually, a hole is big enough to lower an entire man through to the feet of Jesus. And we've heard this story before, but can you imagine if we were sitting even here this morning and suddenly a man appears on a stretcher coming down from the ceiling? And you look up and you see four little faces peering through. And it says that Jesus, seeing their faith, they haven't, and notice, and this is important, they haven't said anything. Yeah. Especially you Kingdom Faithites, you can get we can get so uptight on saying the right thing. Now, these guys didn't say anything. They weren't making 13.5 faith confessions while they were lowering the stretcher. They haven't said anything, according to this story. They're just lowering their friend through somebody else's rather nice roof, thinking, I wonder how much this is going to cost us, to get it down to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus sees the faith. Why does he see their faith? Because they've been audacious, because they've been bold, because they've gone deeper to get hold of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. They've dared go further than anybody else has gone before. Yeah. And the result, we know. Hallelujah. Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, if I'd been up on the roof at that point, I'd have been mad. You have struggled the stretcher onto a roof. You've damaged the tiles as you scraped across the roof. You've risked falling off and breaking your own arm. You've dug a hole in the roof, and who knows what the insurance claim is going to be against you. You've lowered the stretcher down at the feet of Jesus, risking all kinds of wrath and stuff from people in that house. And Jesus sees your paralyzed friend and says, your sins are forgiven. I don't think that's why they took him. Let's do all this so somebody can say to him, oh, you're forgiven. They hadn't got him there for forgiveness. They wanted to see him well.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Because he knows what is the greatest disablement.
Yeah.
A And that's a people who don't know that they can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus completely forgives you and washes you clean, you're more disabled in that sense, no insult intended, than somebody who cannot get off a stretcher. He goes straight to the core of the issue. And theologians will pontificate about whether the sins needed to be forgiven for the healing to come or whatever. I don't think we need to go into that at all. He just knew what was the most important issue, and he knew what was the most important thing to all the Pharisees and the teachers that were watching. He was a very deliberate person. They say only God can forgive sins, and they were right. They said he's blaspheming, and they were right, unless he was God. So Jesus makes it very clear to them who he is. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so he asked them, why do you have such attitudes in your hearts? It was probably written all over their faces, wasn't it? You know? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive those who sin, he said to the paralyzed man, I command you to stand up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Jesus was saying to them, to their faces, hi, I am the Lord, your God. He even used this expression, the Son of Man, which they would knew referred to Daniel and the coming of God in the end times, the coming of the Messiah. They knew exactly what he was claiming to be. He couldn't have made it plainer. Sometimes people say, oh, it's not always clear. This is very clear. Jesus is saying, I am God. Very scary thing to be confronted for in a house with the roof coming in. And so he says to the paralyzed man, I command you to stand up, pick up your stretcher and go home. And immediately the man stood up in front of everyone and took his stretcher and went out praising God. I like that little sentence there. I command you to stand up, pick up your stretcher and go home. It's like a seven-year-old story when they write a story at school. It always finishes, and then we went home to bed. Go home. But first he says, stand up. Because of this lack of thinking, because of this lack of using our brains, remember, you have a renewed mind. What do you have?
Renewed mind.
Not a removed mind, a renewed mind.
Good.
Yeah, a renewed mind. The church is not paralyzed, but it's been living like it has. It is not sleepy. We have been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Rise up, church. We've been forgiven. This is a church full of overcoming people. It is. You're an overcomer. Not trying to be, you are. This is a church where it's okay to succeed. For so long the church has torn down the successful. He's making an awful lot of money. Yes, praise God.
Yeah.
He's getting rather a lot of quick promotions, isn't he? Yes, praise God. She spends so much time on her family. What does she think she's doing? Praise God, those kids are being raised up wonderfully.
Amen.
This is a place where you can succeed to be prosperous and not have to apologize for it. Shouldn't really have that kind of a car. They could have given that into the church. What mindset is that? Where do you find that in the Bible? People criticizing for spending money. Well, Judas was an example. I'm not talking about wasting money. I'm not talking about just spending it all on yourself. But God does want to bless you. You're his child and he's your dad. He is your father in glory, but he's also your daddy. And if you know how to give, Jesus said this, by the way, if you know how to give good things to your children, will not your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to his kids? This is a church that puts a smile on your face, where you can have just great fun. Now, I know not all of you think going in the North Sea is great fun. But it was. Let church be And by church, I mean the people together, not just Sunday mornings. A place where we just enjoy one another's company. We have fun. This church has a culture of significance and greatness. If you're a doctor, and you want to be, we want to see you as a consultant. If you're in any kind of occupation, we want you rising to the fullness of what Christ has put in you, because you're wiser than any of the wise men of Babylon. That's why we are such a blessing to wherever we are. But we don't think that we are. We don't even dare to allow ourselves. And sometimes it's not that we're wise, but we know somebody who is. My friend's got some great ideas. My father has some incredible insight if I just chat to him about it. One of the stories that Chris kept referring to, I may not be able to convey it. I'll just sort of dangle it a little bit before you, before I finish. I'm finishing in a minute. And that's the story of the disciples. You know, when they were arguing about who was the greatest. And obviously, you know, it wasn't a good thing that they were arguing about the greatest. And we've heard that lots and lots before. But I suddenly, from Chris, had a little bit of insight on the whole situation. And what kind of a culture did Jesus have with his disciples that they would be arguing about who was the greatest? He'd obviously got one of raising people up into significance and destiny and giving them vision and saying, I believe in you guys, you're going to do this. They weren't arguing about who was the least, they were arguing about who was the greatest. They argued, or their mother got involved, about who could sit next to Jesus because they were so significant. I think we need a bit more of those problems in the church. That people are so full of who they are in God, they do get a little bit over the top sometimes. I am the greatest person on the planet. But then in a sense, they'll be right, because everyone is. Everyone is awesome and fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. We've had this false humility imposed upon us. Humility is not a sense of, I'm not worth anything. That's not humility, that's pride. Why is that pride? Because God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So if you say, I'm not, you say, I know better than God. So you're a very proud person. But if you say, I'm precious and beautiful and intelligent, then you're agreeing with God. So actually, you're being humble. People have been so bashed over the head with something that's not the gospel. But why? Because we want to control them. We want to put them in a box. We don't want them to think. Until we realize we don't have to split just because we disagree. We're going to disagree, folks. You might have disagreed with some of what I said today. You don't have to leave the church because you disagreed with the pastor one Sunday. Goodness me, I would have been in Kingdom Faith 10 minutes. If I'd had to agree with everything Pastor Colin had said instantly. Some things took me years to realize he was right. But in the meantime, I thought I was right. But I didn't have to leave. I didn't walk up to him after every meeting and try and correct him. God's a great future for you. A plan, a destiny, a calling to live in victory. Success and prosperity are all biblical promises for believers. Defeat, failure, and need and poverty, guess what? They're not part of God's plan. And if you see any elements of in them, it's time to be confessing the positive and moving out of them. It's time to be saying, Dad, I don't really pray like that very often. I've been challenged that perhaps I should, because it's a little bit not me. And still having respect for God our Father, but just, Dad, can you help? I've been thinking a lot of my own relationship with my own father. Stand up, church. This is what you're standing up to. Then he said, pick up your stretcher. You sort of think, well, why did he have to pick it up? Because it was making a mess in the house. He'd already dug a house and a hole in it. But Jesus, it's time, church, that we took responsibility for our own lives and our own mess. God had sorted out the fact he couldn't walk, but he needed to pick up the remnants of his old life and deal with it and get rid of it, take it out. All right, and too many people are running around trying to get somebody else to sort out their mess and their problems. And what we need is a responsible church that takes the healing from God, the advice from church leaders or their friends around them, and picks up their stretcher and moves on.
Yeah.
Stop being dependent on others to carry you. You don't need carrying. God's given you two great pairs of spiritual legs or even wings for you to fly.
Yes.
Amen? And why take the stretcher? Because the very symbol of his slavery to immobility was now the symbol of the freedom he'd obtained in God. Just look at the sign of the cross. A symbol of crucifixion, death and horror became a symbol of life to millions worldwide. Hallelujah. And if you've been through stuff, it's no longer something to hide or put away. It's a badge to carry to say, I'm on the other side of that. If you've been divorced, you don't have to hide it in shame. You say, I've been through that. And look, I've come out on the other side. And God, this is it. Look, this is my divorce. Have a look. It was messy, but now I'm healed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you're a single parent, you don't hide your head in shame because you've not got another spouse. You've not got a spouse in your life. You say, look, I'm a single parent. I'm living in Jesus. I'm bringing up my kids real good. This is my badge of honor, not my badge of shame.
That's right.
If you've been through sickness, even if you've got sickness upon you and it haven't quite sorted it out in you, it's not something to be ashamed of. It's a badge of honor. It says, look, I'm not well, but I'm going on with Jesus. I'm lifting him up high. I'm worshiping him. I'm going to take my stretcher with me.
Yeah.
And show everybody. So this guy, he walks out with his stretcher. The very thing that he'd been a slave to now become his badge of victory.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you know, Jesus said to Paul, I have many people in this city. Didn't he? You can't remember where, you'll have to go and look it up. Because neither can I. But he said, I have many people in this city. And I want you to know, Jesus is speaking over this town. Let's just talk about Scarborough. He has many people in this city. And at the moment, they're on the stretcher. But they're going to carry the stretcher around with them as a bag of victory. But many, many are out there. God's not a small thinker, he's a big thinker.
Yeah.
Many means large, many means numerous, many means lots. There's countless people out there, crowds, multitudinous amounts of people who all want to come to Jesus. Copious, abundant. I'm trying to think of more. Profuse. Huge. Stacked. Masses. Myriads of people who want to know the Lord and are just waiting for a church that is ready to be bold enough to talk to them and say, that's often all it is, talk to them. And some of them, we're going to have to get up the walls of the house and drag them across the roof and lay them at the feet of Jesus, because they're not the ones that are free, we are. Sometimes we're going to have to go out on the limb and be a bit dangerous and a bit dodgy, a bit exposed to risk or even criticism to get that person to Jesus. What are you doing mixing with those people? Why are you hanging out at the gay bar? Because I want to show them love. You say, well, those people are under judgment. Well, so are you. Apart from Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to show, and they're going to show people their stretches. Because the stories are our testimonies.
Yeah.
And by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony, people are going to be saved.
Amen.
And finally, to finish, because it's here, I command you to stand up. We've done that one. Stand up in who you are, in the church that we are, called to succeed, all that bit I was going through earlier. Pick up your stretcher. We've just done that. And go home. Church, go home. Go from this place to this place. Don't get saved and sit around in church. Don't get saved and sit around in holy huddles. Go home. Go to the people that don't yet know him in your home and next door to you and your friends and your neighbours. Go to your local pub and just start talking to people. Go to events and just get to know people. Go to a table tennis club or something and just get to know people. Go and join the gardening club or Let's Restore the Cliffs of Scarborough group, or go and join the Neighbourhood Watch. Go home. Don't sit in church. Go home. The message this morning is stand up and go home. In 10 minutes. We didn't get saved to sit around in church.
Amen.
We've got people to go to. We've got to be outrageous and audacious, fearless, confident, a bit of an attitude, a little bit cheeky, a bold church that is making an impact, that is influencing people, taking a lead in society, and is a bit noisy. Or a lot noisy. In the NIV, the words be still occur 7 times. But shout occurs 59 times. We're supposed to be noisy, church. That's why we have a PA. Matthew 5:14. Can you remember what it is in the Message edition? If I give you that clue. We're going public with this. Go home, go and tell the people around you what God has done for you. What's a testimony? How do you share a testimony? You say what it was like, what God did for you, and what it's like now. And that's all you need to do. What, and it can be a testimony of a healing or anything. What it was like, what God did, what it's like now. And if you take those stories, because your life is awesome, you've got stories. What it was like, what God did, what it's like now. And that's your testimony. And that's your testimony that will change the world. Even if you've been a Christian since you were 2, you have a testimony and a story. What an amazing story that you've always known Jesus and how he's kept you safe and how you haven't wandered away from him. That's one of the best, that is the best story to have. Not the one who's been the bank robber. They're exciting, but the best stories are the ones of the one that have always been there. You are the most blessed. I'm finishing now. Go and tell the people what God has done for you. Show them your stretcher. Show them the scars. Show them the wounds. Because the wounds are the story. When you get to heaven, you'll see Jesus' wounds. Because his wounds are a badge of honour. If you've been wounded serving God and you've got the scars, that's not a shame. That's a badge of honour. If you've been abused as a child or as an adult and you're coming through or you've come through, that's a badge of honour. That is worthy of respect. And the Lord says to you, well done, my child. But so often in the church, we try to hide that stuff, thinking, oh, people shouldn't know about that. Oh yeah, they should know about that. That's your stretcher. That's your badge of honour. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And immediately the man stood up in front of everyone, took his stretcher, and went out praising God. Amen? Hallelujah. If you came today and you've got pain in your body, or you've had sickness diagnosed, or you're unwell, then you need to come to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is in us. Practically this morning, you haven't got to take tiles off the roof. And I'd prefer it if you didn't do that kind of damage to the Stephen Joseph. But if you're in that position of needing healing, we're gonna finish and let people go for coffee and tea down in the restaurant now. But if you came and you need something fixing in your body, Jesus is here, because it's going to be part of your story of how you came to the theatre, you met with Jesus, or someone prayed for you and you met with Jesus and God healed you. And then you can go and tell people, because it's become part of your story. Jesus loves stories. So don't go without somebody praying for you. I'm going to be down the front here, and Brian and Shona, and maybe Chris and Claire, and Kate, and we'll just pray for you. But actually, you can go to anybody here. But for you, you might want to come down the front, and that's good, just to receive your healing. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know this one that they dug up roofs to get to, you can this morning. Don't go home thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be like that. Because you can know today. You come forward as well with the ones that want to be healed and just say, I want to know Jesus. I need to have Jesus in my life. And that might be all you know. You might not know anymore. You just know that you need to know Jesus. You need to repent, which means change your way of thinking and think God's way. Turn from what you've been doing, turn to him. You come forward as well. And we'll show you how you can get to know him. And he can be your friend. And God in heaven can be your dad, your father. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Finished on a very quiet note. You know what that is? It's a steely determination in all of us to live the gospel. Be blessed. Have a great week. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.